I'm also greeting all of you, near and far, all those who are here, and also those who are joining us online. The Lord God, may He bless us. May He really let His countenance shine upon us, and may He speak to us by His grace, and may He give us the grace to understand Him in the right way, to receive Him, to believe Him, whatever He says, to get it revealed. We are also welcoming all those. We have, of course, sung, "We are coming from east and west. We are coming from south and north. We who are here today," and also all those who are joining us online. We are greeting in particular all those from Finland, from Sweden, yes, up to Palermo. Just feel at home from all over Europe and also from other countries of the world. And all those who are here today for the first time, them we are welcoming in a very, very special way. And may the Lord be with all of us. We have to give you greetings from brethren from Burkina Faso, from Gabon, Africa, from Dr. Brother Mbie, from Brother Elisha, from Brother Idoni, from Brother Graf, Brother Wallström, from Brother Gilsong, from brethren from Chile. Then Brother Paul is greeting us from Nairobi. They are today connected for the first time. May the Lord bless them in a very special way. Then greetings from Moldavia, from the Ukraine, from Russia, from Uzbekistan, from Belarus, from Cuba, Mexico, Brazil, Bulgaria, Macedonia. Then greetings from Israel. Greetings from Kinshasa. Greetings from Kigali, Rwanda. Greetings from Kitwe. Then greetings, where is it? Greetings from
Cape Town. Kapstadt, zu Deutsch. Grüße
greetings once again from Cape Town, from our beloved brother who is teaching as a professor at a university. He's joined with us very, very much. Then greetings from Burundi. Greetings from Auckland, New Zealand. Then greetings from Brother Motika. Then greetings from the brethren from Turin. Then from Pakistan. Greetings from Ottawa, Canada. Greetings from Denver, Colorado. Then once again greetings from Atlanta, Georgia. Then greetings from our couple Arx, from Brother Adrian. Then greetings from Brother Wilczak from Poland. And then greetings from Brother John from Bucharest. And to this I would like to say something now. We of course all heard about it, that our brethren in Romania, they have TV program on a regular basis now. Now they have the third program broadcasted. And really great things have happened already. And today I would like to mention it gratefully, that our German-speaking brethren from Romania, they have a great part in it. And here I would like to mention Brother Auner in particular, and then also the brethren Hans and Hermann Henrich. The house Henrich was the first house which I visited in Romania. And there was the great sign, probably in six languages, entrance prohibited. It was military area. But the Lord has kept his hand over us. And Brother Hans, he gave me here a listing of all the circular letters which were translated into the Romanian language, all the sermons of Brother Branham which were translated into the Romanian language. And I just would like to ask our brother now, we all stand up, and that he comes and prays with us, and also for that what is happening presently in Romania. Come, brother, you have a great part in what God is presently doing. Lay everything before the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. Faithful Heavenly Father, Lord, we are coming with grateful hearts into your holy presence. And we are looking back to the year 68. You have done great things in this country, Lord, since then. And we are full of gratitude coming to receive the spiritual food. You have done great things in Romania, and you are doing great things all over the world, so that your promise comes to fulfillment, and so that the end can come. This wonderful message was carried into all the world, and now the time has come that you are confirming your word. We believe it with all our hearts, Lord. We are supporting it from all our hearts. We are one with your decisions, Lord. We are on your side, Lord, by faith and by revelation. We ask you, give much strength to your servant to bring this thing to fulfillment, what you started in him. We thank you for the brethren in Romania. Lord, I remember this last Saturday, 470,000 watched this program, and may all the viewers be blessed, and may your word not return void, but may it accomplish for what you send it for. We are just grateful, and we are supporting this work, Lord, and we pray so that your word can go forth. Bless your servant. Bless all the ministering brethren. May the unity, Lord, the unity in the heart of the brothers, may it be manifested in your presence, Lord. And may you bless all the ministering brethren. May you bless all the viewers and listeners. We are thankful that we are drinking from your fountain, Lord. The whole message comes only from one fountain. And for this we are grateful. You have given us the grace to not listen to false things. You have sent your servant, and we received only your servant. And for this we are grateful, Lord, for your wonderful revelation, which is penetrating marrow and soul. May you confirm thy word tonight. Faithful Lord, today it's 49 years ago. Oh, may you continue to bless your word. We are just so grateful for it. To you alone belongs all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen. This is the day. This is the day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we would like to thank also all the other brothers who are having their part in it, that the message of God can be translated into other languages and can be passed on. We think of Brother Siegfried Flick. We think of a number of brothers whom God just used from the very beginning in a wonderful way and is still using today. To the Lord, our God, be the thanks for it. It's of course written that the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached to all nations, to all tongues, and then the end will come. Brother Hans Henrich, he already mentioned it in the prayer. Today, 49 years ago, something happened, extraordinary happened, that I heard the mighty, all-penetrating voice of the Lord. On the 1st of April, 62, we had the first baptism. We baptized 20 people. Before that, we had already some baptisms amongst us as brothers. But this, on the 1st of April, 1962, this was just like an establishment of a local church. And the Lord led it in such a way that at this baptism, my daddy, my mommy, Brother Helmut, some were present, some are even here today. Just think of it. It was 1962 when Brother Branham was still alive and the message was not yet carried into all the world. But this I knew already then, from the very beginning, I knew it. After I have heard the message, how a biblical baptism should be, I'm grateful that I baptized not a single time in a different way than only biblical, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so, Brother Müller. We are all thinking on the beginnings in the various countries. And everything what comes from God leads also back to God. And this is the mighty in the message which the Lord entrusted to us. I will briefly mention it. Just a few thoughts now about the timely events. If we read in Matthew 24, then the Lord firstly spoke about that, what would happen with Jerusalem. And he said, when you will see that Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies, then may the believers flee into the mountains of Judea. He gave the instruction, and if one reads up history, especially with Josephus, who was at that time the history writer, he has written in his book that not a single one who believed in the Messiah was in Jerusalem when the city was destroyed in the year 70. an unbelieving history writer testified of it, that the believers were fleeing because the Lord has said it and commanded it in such a way. Now, we are really living in a time in which we are experiencing the next period. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, everywhere is perplexity. States are getting bankrupt, banks are going bankrupt. Nobody knows how things should go on. And as we all heard about it, Japan again was visited, just as 1945, when the bombs were thrown upon Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I'm writing it now in a little circular letter. The man who was hired by the U.S. government from Hollywood to film the bombings, this man I met personally 1949 in the city of Hamburg. Yes, and he was so touched, in his heart what he filmed, that he returned as an unbeliever, but then he came into a meeting and he experienced the grace of the Lord. And in the city of Hamburg, God used him in the 40s and 50s, and he was the man from whose mouth I heard the name of William Branham 1949 for the first time. I don't want to go here into details. In any case, God took care for everything, and from the very beginning He opened doors. He prepared the ways so that the commission which He Himself has given can be carried out by His grace. The past 49 years have, of course, for me a very special significance, because they are connected with the carrying out of a commission of which I didn't know anything about it. But the Lord, He of course knew and ordained all things beforehand, and they are taking their course, inasmuch as the time has come for it. Our Lord says, time and again He says, in reference to the end time, and to that what we are seeing now, when you see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. And our redemption is drawing near. The bodily redemption. The soul is redeemed. We have received eternal life. But at the return of our Lord, the mortal will put on immortality. The corruptible will put on incorruption. And in a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. And from that time on, I may not speak anymore in the singular, to not be misunderstood anymore. In the past, sometimes I said, as long as I am on the earth, the Lord has not yet come. And then there were some who just said, does Brother Frank mean that he will live when the Lord comes? And today I say, as long as we are on the earth, the Lord has not yet come. Because when He comes, we go. When He comes, then we go. Everything what is connected with God and with promises is also connected with divine reality. So, we are thanking the Lord who has led it in such a way that his true word, without any interpretation, was carried on. And as we heard it in the word of introduction, it was the most inner desire of our Lord to make friends of us, just like Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. Abraham obeyed God. When God gave the promise, he believed. When God required of him to sacrifice Isaac, he went forth. And he even put on the wood on the altar. And both of them went to the Mount Moriah, where he sacrificed him. And so we also are friends of God if we are doing what he commands us. If we align with his word by his grace. And here he says it in verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Brother Kupfer, he says it time and again. Love cannot be learned. Either one has it, or one has it not. And the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love toward God, the love toward His Word, and the love for one another. Now just very briefly now, these two scriptures, which of course refer to the end time from Isaiah 17, for all those who perhaps have not heard it this way yet. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 12 and 13. Isaiah 17, verse 12 and 13. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Then, verse 13. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them. Then also the word from Ezekiel, chapter 7. Ezekiel, chapter 7. Here the Lord God says, through the prophet directly. He speaks about the end. He mentions the things by name. Ezekiel 7, verse 5 and 6, and then verse 12 and 13. Thus saith the Lord God, a disaster, behold, it is come. The end comes. The end is coming. It watches for thee. Behold, it comes. Yes, it comes. We are in the end time. We have heard the end time message, and we understood that it is the calling out time and the preparation of the bride church before the end comes. Then verse 12. The time is come, the day draweth near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive, for the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof. Let us say it very clearly. If somebody buys or sells bad today, it doesn't matter at all today. One doesn't have to mourn anymore. Really, one doesn't have to mourn. Just one thing is important. Our preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as it was spoken and written about the nations who are rushing like the seas, when was it in history? When? When was there tidal waves who are more than 20 meters high? When were there three things at the same time? The earthquake, 10,000 meters deep, and then the tidal wave, the tsunami, and then the nuclear plant catastrophe. All the world is frightened. All the world knows that something is not under control anymore. And doesn't matter what is being decided and what is being done. The end comes. And it will be a destruction. It will be a terrible end. We can read from Isaiah 24 that the earth is shaking, that it will not stand up anymore, that it will be demolished into pieces. As written here in Isaiah 24, in verse 19 and 20, Isaiah 24, verse 19 and 20. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Everything is taking place before our very eyes, and we're just grateful. Even all of the Arabic world around Israel, we are not going here into details, but after 36 years, for the first time, the first warships are going through the Suez Channel. For the first time, the announcement that the destruction of Israel is coming. And then we read in Isaiah 17, verse 1, Damascus will be demolished and it will not be called a city anymore. Everything is, of course, in preparation. And brothers and sisters, precious friends, if that what happens after the rapture is taking shape now already, how near is then the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord? So much for this part now. And now just very briefly, coming to the two questions which are coming up now worldwide. What did the Lord, 1933, what did the Lord say in 1933? How were the words really spoken? You all know, we are not judging here, but it's just a sad fact that in the USA, and what is being spread from there, it is really a forgery. And it has no more the word message in it, which Brother Branham used 16 times. But the forgery, the falsification is, I fear both the forgery and I have the original. I brought it into my Bible. I have it in my Bible. In the forgery, it says, As God has sent John the Baptist before the first coming of Christ, so you are sent to forerun his second coming. Nothing of message, just of the man who was sent. And the Lord said, from the supernatural light, he said, I give you now the first statement of Brother Branham from the 10th of February 1960 in Puerto Rico, in San Juan. Many people, even newspaper reporters, were standing there at the shore. It said again, look up. And when I looked up, this light came down. People were fainting, and there was a voice sounding which shook the whole area as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. So the message which was given to you will be a forerunner of the second coming of Christ. Not that I would be the forerunner, but the message would be the forerunner. That's how it came from the lips of our Lord. And that's how it came from the lips of Brother Branham. And if something completely different is made out of it, then we are standing before the question, who has the right on the earth to that what the Lord said and to what his prophet said? 16 times he repeated it. Who has the right to change it and to take the main term message out of it? But they're just looking at the whole thing as completed, so that nobody has the right to claim the right to carry the message. We are not claiming here a right. We are carrying out the divine commission regardless of what people are saying. God will not listen to the things what people are saying. God will do the things what he said himself and what he promised himself. And then, in connection with the second point, I would like to read something here. It's of course about that it is just being claimed that the seventh seal and connected with it, the seven trumpets, seven thunders. Let me read from the book, the seven seals. Let me read from the last chapter, 24th of March, 1963. Brother Branham said the following. In the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation, the seventh seal is announced without that something was revealed about it. Nothing is revealed in the seventh seal, and it has nothing to do with the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. The revelation of the seven seals is completely hidden. And yet, if I would just have time, I could show you from Genesis on where it speaks of the seven chapters, about the seventh seal, of the direct beginning in Genesis. These seven seals were moving on. Listen closely. Now, we were informed about the seven chapters of Revelation.
Zwischen dem sechsten und dem siebenten Siegel
to get a bridge between the sixth and the seventh seal, between the two seals, the calling out of Israel takes place. Already this statement should be sufficient for all the brothers. That what happens, what is written in the sixth and seventh seal, is written, will take place after the rapture and will fall into the time of the tribulation of the two prophets, when the calling out of the 144,000 takes place. It continues, for these 144,000 have nothing to do with the church and with the church age, for it applies absolutely to Israel. About this, we will speak a little bit later on. And then, Brother Branham, in the first sermon, which we published in the German language, in the sermon, recognize the day and the message. In this first sermon, which we published, we have the most important statements of Brother Branham concerning the time period after the rapture. And I would like that all the brothers who are preaching the word are really loosening themselves from all what is not in alignment with God and His Word. Before I read this, let me read from the book of Revelation. Revelation, chapter 6, here it says, in verse 12 and 13, Revelation 6, verse 12 and 13,
weiter sah ich das Lamm.
And I beheld, when the Lamb opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. One can read it, what will happen in the sixth seal. And then it goes over to the seventh seal. Now, just briefly now, because today is a special day. We also would like to celebrate the Lord's Supper with one another. Here, Brother Branham says, on page 5, my subject tonight is recognize your day and its message. And then he continues and says here, the Holy Ghost does not permit me. He revealed to me that the trumpets will sound under the sixth seal. Just perfect, perfect. Under the sixth seal, the trumpet sounds. Although it is revealed in the seventh. Then we read on, and that I preached already about it. You see? It is all things, it's the supernatural hand of God. It concerns Israel. And we dealt with it in the sixth seal, which refers to the tribulation period of the Jews. We can continue, perhaps tomorrow, because today we will have the Lord's Supper. To me, it was really about that we read what Brother Branham truly said, and then placing everything correctly, and not just taking something out of context to bring everything into a chaos. We believe that God has revealed the things so that we can place it correctly, namely there where they really belong. And this grace God has given to us, that we have respect before the Word. But as you also heard, God just led it in such a way that I, from the very first time, when 1949, when I heard the name of Brother Branham for the first time, that something happened in me. And 1955, I received a postcard, a little postcard I received. An evangelist by the name of William Branham will preach in the city of Karlsruhe from this date to this date. And then the signature. And I knew that this is my invitation, my invitation. And behold, in the first sermon, I cannot describe it to you in words, but I knew he is a man sent from God. I had no idea of message, of promise, of Malachi, no idea of anything. At the age of 21, one hasn't seen much yet. And behold, God took care of it, that from the first day on, the connection was made. And I knew that nobody can do what is happening here unless God is with him. And then the first encounter in the Hotel Dreilinden, you have heard it many times from my mouth, when the man said at the reception, "You don't need any more information. The gentlemen are just entering the lobby now." And then the greeting with this man of God. And before we greeted one another, he said, "You are a preacher of the gospel." Brothers and sisters, it's just tremendous how God led things. And then the whole week, I was under the proclamation of the Word. I was witnessing with my own eyes the sign of the Messiah, the divine confirmation, the divine gift, as our Lord had it. And Brother Brennan was said, the same messianic sign which was given to the Jews and the Samaritans is now at the end of the church age is given to the nations. And the sign of the Messiah was that our Lord could say to the people who they are, where they are coming from. For it had to be fulfilled that he had the prophetic ministry. The woman at the well, she said, "We know that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. But who are you? I am the one who speaks to you." And the same ministry repeated before my very eyes as the last sign for the church. That the Lord is now completing his church, and that we are living in a prophetic age, and that we have to hearken to that, what he says to us in this time. So, by God's grace, from the very beginning, I was led into the things without my doings, namely what God is doing now. Now, just to say it once again here, where the message is left out, God knows why they did it. But the prophet of God, he told me on the 3rd of December, he told me, "Wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of it." And then the rest came. And then the man of God was taken home. And after that, the message was carried into all the world, just as the Lord said it, that it would forerun the second coming of Christ. Brothers and sisters, today we will celebrate the Lord's Supper out of gratefulness for that what he has done for us. What he has done in us. It didn't happen only on Calvary. It happened in you. It happened in me. We experienced the impact of the finished work of redemption. Now just a couple of scriptures. We start with Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Here we read from verse 12. Hebrews 12 from verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. This is addressed to us today, all of us, who we have to go through trials and tests, and sometimes they are really hard trials. Let us take new courage today. Let us trust the Lord, knowing He will bring it to pass. And then the requirement, and make straight paths for your feet. Also, this is very important. When obstacles are coming, one cannot walk properly. They have to be taken out of the way. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. This is my wish, this is God's wish, our wish, that this is happening with all of us by His grace. Then, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. A serious word. We are waiting for the return of the Lord, and without holiness, nobody will see Him. Then verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So, let us take care. Let us ask the Lord that in all our trials, in all misunderstandings, that no root of bitterness springs up, that we really let the love of God rule over everything, trusting the Lord that He will bring it to pass. Now, just the places which speak of holiness, and you will see how easy it is to live a holy life. The requirements which God has given are so easy that we can fulfill it every day anew. We will not read all the chapters, but I will give it to you so that you know where this description of the way is left to us. Leviticus 19, here we are told, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then truly, all of the description of the way comes concerning this holiness. And each one of us who we are present here today can fulfill it. There's not one point which is listed here in the following verses, which is written here, which no one of us could fulfill. You all can read it here, how it is written about the harvest, about the vineyard, about stealing, about cheating. Here, everything is listed. What shall not be done with a blind man, with a dumb. Everything is written. Also, no slander and no having hatred in it, in him, and not doing harm to the neighbor. A whole description of what it includes to be holy and blameless before God. I see it to be easy. And God doesn't require anything of us what we cannot fulfill. And he says also here something. In chapter 20, yes, chapter 20 is the description of the way. Leviticus 20 is the whole description from verse 7 on. Here the Lord says it. Once again he says, Leviticus 20 from verse 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Yes. And now we are with John 17, 17. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Here is described precisely what belongs to this sanctification. And I say it once again, I read it through. It's without problem. It's easy to fulfill. It's easy to fulfill. Nothing is in it what could be difficult for us. Just the opposite. Contrary. With the Lord, we can obey everything what is written here. And then, of course, also the other points. How we shall live with the Lord. And just be honest, if God in the Old Testament has spoken out judgments, if a man sleeps with a man just like with a woman, then he said they should be stoned. If somebody takes the wife of another one, then they both shall be stoned and so forth. Shall I say this to you or me? Who of us would take a wife of another man? It is impossible. There's no word which could be unfulfillable for us. Every word can be fulfilled. Every word can be lived out without any compromise. God didn't require anything of us what could not be fulfilled and lived out by us. We are just grateful. If the Lord in the New Testament gave us the redemption, then of course that we can follow all the requirements. They are no burden for us. They are no law for us. No, with a joyful heart, we can fulfill and obey all things, whatever God has said in his word and what he required. Then we are coming directly, because of time, we are coming to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, which describes the redemption. And our Lord, who went into the Holy of Holies to obtain a complete redemption for us. Hebrews chapter 9, firstly verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Offering of the blood. We have said it many times. The life is in the blood, and therefore the blood had to be shed. The life had to be sacrificed so that reconciliation and forgiveness can take place. Verse 11 and 12 in Hebrews 9. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the most holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. It has happened. It is finished. And in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's just the gospel, the wonderful gospel which we are preaching. And we know the Lord and the blood of the new covenant has still the same power today. We can still experience God today. All those who did not yet experience salvation and forgiveness and have no assurance that their sins are forgiven, they can experience it today by His grace. God is present. We are not having a story which happened 2,000 years ago. We have a finished work of redemption, which is valid until the time of grace lasts. And all those who are coming to the Lord are finding forgiveness and salvation. Then in Hebrews chapter 9 we read, he went with his own blood into the most holy place. In Matthew 26 we read, Matthew 26 we read of the blood of the new covenant. Also in Mark 13, let us first read from Matthew 26. It's just the full gospel which the Lord has given to us by His grace. Matthew 26, verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Please pay attention today. Two times it speaks of the cup, and in the midst it says the word of the new covenant and of the blood. Let us read once again verse 27. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. And now he refers to himself, to his blood. For this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then he comes back to the cup in which was wine. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. His blood, he didn't drink. His blood, he has shed. And with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place. Not with the wine, which was in the cup. No, with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place. Of course, the translators, they had big trouble to bring the formulation exactly. And whoever reads the various translations, how difficult it was for these people who had different knowledges to express what God really wanted to express. But as we just said, the two verses speak of the cup. And in the midst of it is the verse, for this is my blood of the new covenant. It refers to Zechariah 9. Exodus, it is shed for many for the remission of sins. Exodus 24, verse 8. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When we go to the Old Testament, just briefly, Exodus 12, Exodus chapter 12, here, the man of God had to write down what happened at that time when the blood of the lamb was shed and was put upon the doorposts, and that the destruction angel had to pass by it. Exodus 12. Here we read from verse 5. Exodus 12 from verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You can look it up. Leviticus 23, verse 5. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Shall kill it between the two evenings. Also this, we have said it here. Leviticus. In Israel, on one hand, there's one evening when the sun goes down, and there's the evening when the darkness sets in. And the sacrifice had to be brought after the sun has set, and between the time when the darkness has set in. Between these two evenings, the sacrifices had to be given. And then in verse 7 it says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. We have here a commandment of the Lord, and they obeyed it, and the destruction angel had to pass by them. When we are under the blood of the Lamb, then the enemy can do nothing to us. He can be furious, he can roar like a lion, whatever he does. Under the blood of the Lamb, we are safe, not only redeemed, but we are also kept safe. Then it says in verse 13, chapter 12, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. For when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now listen closely what is written in verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, for my remembrance, for my memorial. These do in my remembrance. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. That's how it is. The called and led out people of God, that's how it was given to them along the way. The blood will be the token, and wherever the blood is, there no destruction will be. No one will die. God keeps safe by the blood. This we said already. The bottom was not allowed to be put upon the blood was not allowed to be put on the bottom, so that nobody treads upon it, only left and right, but not on the bottom. And also for us, very important, verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. These do in my remembrance. And he refers to that what the Lord has said. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Listen closely. For you, this is my, for you, this is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. In remembrance to that what happened on the cross of Calvary, when our Lord died as the Lamb. Then it says in verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Also today, when we take the Lord's Supper, we are reminded to what happened on the cross of Calvary for us. Please take also the scripture from Colossians, chapter 1. It's just about the main thing, namely about the great reconciliation day of God with mankind. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. Please receive and accept this reconciliation. Receive the forgiveness. Receive the salvation of God. Nobody needs to get lost. Here in Colossians chapter 1, we have the powerful word in verse 14. Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Up to the revelation, up to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the new covenant, is just shown to us. And that would happen through it. Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This is the gospel. This is a wonderful news. It happened for us who we are coming from all people's tongues and nations. We are still being called out. Now two places. The one from 1 Peter, just very precious, and once again precious. One can read it two or three times, can rejoice about it, what the Lord has done for us by his grace in us. You already notice, with us it's about the kernel of the proclamation. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. Tomorrow, God willing, we will read it, where Brother Branham says, the message is that the church now at the end comes back to the beginning. Here, in 1 Peter, chapter 1, it says, in verses 14, 15 and 16, please, receive it, accept it. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. Now we already think of Leviticus 19, Leviticus 20. We think of the scriptures where the Lord God himself said, Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And then he gives all the statutes which have to be taken heed to live a well-pleasing life to God, a holy life. Then, verse 15 and 16, and here the scripture says, but as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Here the man of God refers to Leviticus 11, Leviticus 19. He refers to these scriptures. Brothers and sisters, just be of good courage. That what was not possible for the old man in the Old Testament, this God will give to us by the inner renewing. It's not our doing, not our effort, which we must bring. No, the grace of God, the grace of God to live according to His Word, as written. But as He who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. And I say it once again. I read these chapters. Also other chapters I read, where God has given the description very clearly, even in the 12 words of curses, and then in the 12 words of blessings. Everything what was listed there, it can be fulfilled. Nobody needs to be worried. The Lord God gives us the power to live out His Word by His grace, and not to be frightened when He said, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Not our own holiness, but being sanctified, to live out in the Word of God, the will of God. And this we said many times, only in the Word of God, the will of God was left to us. There we have no problems at all. By the grace of the Lord, we can follow and obey everything, and we can live out everything, whatever the Lord required. And this by grace. He gives us the strength, the power to it. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, then really in the full awareness, the redemption is finished. God has given us anew the eternal life by His grace. The blood of the Lamb speaks for us. We are redeemed. We are an inheritance, a possession of the Lord. And God has pardoned us. God has given us a new heart, has given us a new spirit. Also this, we recently looked at it. In this connection, where God said in Ezekiel 36 that He would gather His people from all nations, He said also, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And it's happening. Only if we let ourselves be gathered, if we are coming under the influence of His Word and under His Word and under His Spirit, then only God's Word can accomplish in us for whatever He has sent it for. And today He has given us an inner agreement to whatever is written, what Peter has written, being led by the Spirit of God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Also, this is addressed to all the young people. You don't need discos. You don't need the things of this world. They bring you only disappointment, one disappointment after the other. If one young people thinks that the world can offer you whatever you desire, this is not right. The world deceives. The world deceives. Only with the Lord, the deep desire can be satisfied. also now the admonition. So be ye holy, who has called you, in all manner of conduct, be holy. This is a powerful word. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And I tell you, God works everything in us. Don't you worry. Just believe as the scripture says. And the Lord God will do the rest in all of us by His grace. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. May the faithful Lord pour out His remaining blessing upon us all worldwide, that we not only speak of a messenger and a message, but that we experience the full salvation in Jesus Christ, that we let ourselves be led into all the truth, and walking in obedience, as written, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the lusts of this world. The Lord prepared everything for us, and we can just trust Him, and we know He will bring it to pass. To Him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor and glory and adoration. May the full gospel break through in all of us, that by the word, by the blood, by the spirit, that it can really accomplish in all of us for what it was sent to us today. Amen. Let us stand up together. Perhaps the two sisters will sing a song, and then we will go over to the Lord's Supper. Today we need a bit of time, and we ask also all those who are down in the dining room . The brothers will also come there to distribute the bread. And all the scripture says, let everyone examine himself and afterward eat.
O du Lamm Gottes, du hast auf Golgatha herrlich gesieget. Amen, Halleluja. Du hast erworben Heil für die ganze Welt und hast aufs Fülligste gezahlt das Lösegeld. Du riefst mit lauter Stimme durch Todesnacht. Es ist vollbracht, es ist vollbracht. O Wort des Lebens, hier kann mein Glaube ruhen. Auf diesen Felsen kann ich mich gründen nun. Ewig vollkommen ist unseres Gottes Heil. Nimm es, o Sünder, an, so wird dir's ganz zuteil. Nichts kannst du machen mehr, er hat's gemacht. Es ist vollbracht, es ist vollbracht. O Wort des Sieges, wenn mir der Satan naht, blick ich zum Helden, der ins zertreten hat. In Jesu Wunden bin ich erlöst und frei. Sein lauter Todesruf ist nun mein Siegerschrei. Nichts soll mich fesseln mehr des Feindes Macht. Es ist vollbracht, es ist vollbracht. Jesu, mein Heiland, dir sag ich Preis und Dank. O Überwinder, hör meines Lobgesang. In deine Gnade fühl ich mich tief hinein. In deinem teuren Blut bin ich gerecht und rein. Er sei dem Lamm das Rief, da es geschlacht. Es ist vollbracht, es ist vollbracht.
Amen. Singen wir so wie
ich. Let us sing just as I am. Before we sing it again, we would like to bow our heads. And we are in the presence of God. To celebrate the Lord's Supper with one another. In remembrance of the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And because only he can partake of the Lord's Supper who really received and accepted the redemption and the Redeemer by faith, and by this he experienced the forgiveness and reconciliation from God. Our Lord said, "For many the blood of the covenant is shed for the remission of sins." The blood was shed for the remission. And our Lord and Redeemer, he entered as the high priest with his own blood into the most holy place. And even today, the blood, the word, and the spirit has the same power. And before we take the Lord's Supper, we would like to bow our heads. And I would like to pray now for all who are now rededicating their lives to the Lord, or also for the first time, to then partake of the Lord's Supper. Now addressed to you, who you are going to be baptized, because you believe now, baptism will be tomorrow. The Lord's Supper you can take already today, if you are ready to walk in obedience of faith together with the Lord. According to the scripture, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. If this is like this, just raise your hand briefly. Do we have some? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May the Lord bless us. O Lamb of God, to you be the praise. Let us sing. We are now saying goodbye to all who are now connected. May the Lord bless you. Most surely, you have your Lord's Supper and what belongs to you, wherever you are now, in whatever country, in whatever city you are. May the Lord God bless all. And may His word accomplish in all for what it was sent for. Dear Lord, we ask you now for the perfect faith in the justification which you have given to us, in the full redemption which we experienced. Great God, work in us everything what is well-pleasing to you. Give me and give us all the grace to live out your word in obedience, to be sanctified therein, and to then see your face. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks with all our hearts and with all our souls. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. All who are in the dining room, them we ask that they are coming up now, and all who are on the balcony, that they are coming down. The Lord says, take and eat all of it.